This is my studio. My studio. Sorry, not my studio. Drum.
This is a podcast of Brussels Jazz Alert.
Casimir Liberski, for the Americans out there. I'm 34, I'm Belgian, I'm a pianist, composer, try to be at least. When I was 17 and finished high school, I went to Boston to study at Berklee College of Music, where I had a presidential scholarship. And in 2010, I moved to New York City. And I roughly stayed there up until 2018. You know, I used to already go to New York every single time I had a school break, like when I was in middle school and high school. Before going to university, when I was still in Belgium, I used to every time I could and I. Every birthday, I present would be just a ticket to go to New York. And it wasn't so expensive back then because we had a cheap airline. There was like Bangladesh airline that you could hop on, and it was only like, I don't know, 200 or something, or crazy cheap to go, you know. So I would go there and just crash at people's place, my parents' friends and stuff. But I was like super young. I was like 13, 14 or something, and going by myself and like, walking around in Bushwick and sometimes people would be like, hey kid, you can't be over here, you know. Like, but it was crazy, you know. I used to stand outside of like New School in New York as a kid, and I mean, I looked like a tall, I was kind of an, I looked like a grown up already even though I was a kid, but and then I would just like meet musicians and then like go in the school, like they would sneak me in the school and then we'd just session, you know, with and just play with like cats that were just around on the street, you know. It was great, you know. Like a year before my second visa expired, you know, I met my wife in New York. She was struggling in New York, where I was not really doing so well, and nobody was doing really well around the end of pandemic. I mean, before pandemic, the vibe in New York City was very weird and changing. A lot of clubs were closing, and then finally we chose to go back to Brussels because I felt more, it was more where I actually belong in a way, where things are easier for artists if you're Belgian. Compared to when I left Belgium back in 2006 and where we at now, it's like a totally different landscape. I feel like the energy is like bursting out. There's like so much good vibes and so much willpower. You know, people are really dedicated and very enthusiastic, and that's like something that I didn't see so much in New York at the end. There's a lot of people in the jam sessions, a lot of young people, a lot of people from everywhere, from different backgrounds and also different genders. I mean, it's just great, you know, it's a bit more mixed than it used to be. So right now I'm working on this this trio project where I'm playing with like two other musicians in a sort of jazz piano trio tradition, which is piano, acoustic bass, double bass, and a drum. That's pretty fun. The bass player is a really old friend of mine and a musician I pretty much started playing jazz with back when I was a teenager. And his name is Janos Brunel. He's a pretty well regarded bass player in Belgium, and he teaches all the young bass players. You know, he's always like, everybody goes to Janos at some point when you play bass in Belgium. And I'm playing with this young drummer who just arrived on the scene Like, I literally just met him when he, I think the second day he arrived. He's from Portugal, actually. And very creative, super fresh, like new energy that I haven't felt in a while. Like, and he's, his name is Diogo Alexandre. The reason why I chose this name Retrio is, I mean, it's been a while since I haven't had a trio like this also, you know, like an acoustic jazz trio where we play piano, bass, drums. And also the Retrio is because, like, I mean, the concept, I it's an old idea that I had since way back in the day. Before I went to Berkeley and everything, I had this idea of covering retro video game music, which was already retro back then, you know? I mean, I'm talking Super Nintendo and, you know, Game Boy and NES and stuff like that. And
just, this is, I put this recently to, like, get in the vibe a little bit. But look at this, man. Sounds so good. This old TV, man. I can't believe I was like... It's amazing, right?
The first thing I did was Donkey Kong way back in 2003 or 2004. I did a demo and there was a Donkey Kong on it. Donkey Kong Country, you know, the famous doo-ba-doo-doo-ba-doo-doo-doo-doo. I did that as a cover.
Yeah, I want to play this music someday. It's Yoko Shimamura. She made Street Fighter. She's very famous for Street Fighter. The composer. She's amazing. Amazing composer. It's probably one of her masterpieces. King of Dragons. I mean, that game is a masterpiece. Like a little, some games are amazing, you know. We don't know why.
I didn't consider as serious music back then, but and then it took me all these years, like almost 20 years, from back then, from when I was 16 to now, you know, I'm 34, and after all these like. Things I learned and experienced and playing all these kind of music, I went back to it, leaving this thing kind of on hold for so long. But still, in my free time, I would always go back to listen to video game soundtracks on YouTube, just for fun. Like I used to always kind of that stuff is great, actually, you know, and then kind of. Gathering scores and finding the music, and so yeah. And now it's like during COVID, I had so much time. I was like, oh, I'm practicing a lot of classical music and everything, but that too. And then I was like, oh, you know, it's great. Now I have the technique to actually play those things because it's really fast. You know, it's really hard. It's exact rhythm. It's not meant to be played by humans. You know, it's quantized, MIDI or whatever. It's all chip tune stuff. So. That also was an issue. I didn't have the technique back then. I've been focusing mainly on one game for the one video game for the soundtrack for the all the compositions that we're deriving or sets, which is the Legend of Zelda. And so the thing that I call the stuff that we do the Zelda Suite project, because pretty much where I'm taking a bunch of tiny songs and I stick them together into a suite, which is kind of like a, you know, French suite by Bach or English suite.
This is the Zelda main theme, I guess.
What I like about, for instance, the music of The Legend of Zelda and the old games, not the new ones. New ones are too good. They're too orchestral and amazing. I'm talking about the old basic ones, though. Is that they go through many different feelings of music, very different sentiments. You know, whether it's fun. Playful, scary, but all in a sort of a cute, non-threatening and humble Japanese way, which I love. I don't think the idea was to make a great art piece. It was more to serve the game in the best way possible. And then it's funny because it is art, even though they didn't intend it to. So in a way, it's like, for me, I see it almost like a Warholian, you know, Andy Warhol sort of prophecy thing, where, like, you know, the Campbell soup can be art, and so does the Nokia ringtone. I don't know. I'm sort of trying to sublimate, like, something that doesn't look like art. It could be, you know, and bring it, transcend it to make it art, you know. To me, like, also the jazz standard world is weird because everybody's playing these old pop tunes that they didn't grow up with. You know, we didn't grow up with The Sound of Music and all these famous musicals from Broadway. Like, that's not part of our pop culture anymore. So we're only replicating something that the jazz guys from the 50s were replicating because they heard it on the radio so much and they were part of TV culture, you know? So it's already a bias. Like, already, for me, I don't think of the original. I think of Coltrane version of something, or, you know, or Bill Evans or Miles version of a famous tune, you know? So to me, like, if I want to take the same approach as those guys, I have to do that with my generation, you know, my music. So I think I'm not crazy about Britney Spears and all these things. So I'd rather take in. That's where I, you know, in the video game music, that's where I thought there was the most creativity in terms of composition and counterpoint, actually. There's more counterpoint. There's more, like, multiple lines at once. And for me as a pianist, that's really what I like, you know. It's like left hand, right hand. They're busy. They're doing things. There's interaction. There's something happening, you know.
This podcast is supported by Sabamfe Culture, the Nationale Loterij, and the Brussels Capital Region. Want more? Listen to the other podcasts of Brussels Jazz Alert and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That way, you'll stay up to date with our free concerts, new musical discoveries, and great spots in Brussels.